ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
You might recall some months ago we spoke about the rise of religion in Silicon Valley amongst the tech bros. Well, one tech bro extraordinaire, Peter Thiel, has been giving lectures on Armageddon and the Antichrist to apparently rapt audiences. Now, these lectures attempt to fuse beliefs about technology and religion. Adrian Daub is a German literary scholar and professor of German and comparative literature at Stanford University, right there in the heart of Silicon Valley almost. Adrian's been following these lectures with great interest. Welcome, Adrian.
Thank you for having me.
Now, in these lectures, Peter Thiel suggests that the world is fixated, rather, on a kind of apocalyptic view of the destruction. He talks about artificial intelligence, climate change, nuclear war, the collapse of fertility. What does he mean? And is he right? Maybe we are threatened by those things, but he seems to think the threat is the fear rather than the issue.
Yeah, he thinks that the Antichrist will come by conjuring those fears. Whether that means that those fears aren't real, I don't know. But to your bigger question of, is he right about even those fears? Every listener can sort of decide that for him or herself. But it does seem to me that some of these are very, very specific to the very specific milieu in which Peter Thiel circulates. And you already mentioned it. You know, it starts out with climate change. I think we're all kind of worried about climate change. I think he's right there. People do worry, even though possibly not enough. People worry about nuclear war. Sure, that seems scary. But declining fertility rates, I'm guessing that a lot of your listeners are not being kept up at night by that. A group of people that is being kept up at night by that apparently are Silicon Valley billionaires. This is a hobby horse for a lot of them, this soft eugenicism around birth rates. Elon Musk has sounded off about that. That's why he's sort of seeding his spawn everywhere. Sometimes when Peter Thiel says people, you are reminded that he may not interact with that many people who aren't exactly like him. Mm. And you kind of get the feeling, sometimes he's talking about all of us, and sometimes he's talking about people like him who are very much not all of us.
Yeah. I know on the question of fertility, though, there have been some mainstream politicians, including some on the centre-left, that have said, well, welfare states won't be sustainable with declining fertility rates. So I guess that's a bit of a mixed one. But he's obsessed on the question of the devil or the Antichrist. Who does he say the Antichrist is?
Well, it sort of changes throughout the lectures. In the first lecture, he just holds the space open and says we should be able to talk about this question. And then he sort of starts offering answers. And the answer seems to be the Antichrist will be people who warn about the apocalypse and will come to power warning about the apocalypse. And Greta Thunberg comes up a lot when he's talking about the Antichrist. I don't think he ever says she is the Antichrist, but it definitely seems to have crossed his mind. Mm. The other figures that come up are mostly people who are sort of who I would call AI doomers, so people who think that artificial intelligence will bring about an end to humanity. And he thinks basically that there's a good chance that the Antichrist will come to power warning about the danger of AI.
People who talk a lot about the Antichrist usually come from a religious background. I mean, is Peter Thiel religious?
He is. Peter Thiel's religious background is a little strange, but I think it's a through line in his career. He seems to have been fairly religious growing up. When he attended Stanford in the 80s, it seems to have been one of the things that really set him apart from other students and made him really feel like an outsider, that he was quite Christian. In the lectures, it sounded to me like he's saying he's no longer Catholic or Protestant, he's now Orthodox. I didn't know that. It might have been a joke.
I think he called himself a small O Orthodox Christian.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if that means that he literally converted. That's what he calls himself, exactly. He's an Orthodox Christian. He has made references before to going to church. At the same time, his Christianity is very shot through with his own particular philosophical interests and preoccupations. His Christianity can sound a lot like his Stanford professor, René Girard. It can sound a lot like Ayn Rand. And in this set of lectures, it can sound a lot like the Nazi jurist, Carl Schmitt.
Mm. It's very hard to find any consistency in Peter Thiel's comments because On the one hand, he's making a speech that seems to captivate J.D. Vance, who's now the vice president. And that speech was one in which Thiel apparently said, people spend far too much time thinking about making money, thinking about career advancement and status and prestige, and you need to think deeper about the purpose of your life. And apparently this is what captivated a young J.D. Vance, not yet a Republican, certainly not a Trumpist. On the other hand, Peter Thiel laments the fact that there's too many international institutions these days that prevent you from hiding your money. It's hard to work out a consistency in his thinking.
I think that's really important. I mean, like, it's easy to be frightened by what this extremely influential, extremely rich man lays out in these lectures. But if a listener is able to get a hold of these, I would recommend reading them for exactly the way you just did, for their disjunctures and for their inconsistencies. This is someone who is a very ambitious thinker, very clearly, but who doesn't seem to have a whole lot of people around him to tell him no, or that's not right, or reread that book. And I think you can really tell. The same kind of inconsistency about, well, you shouldn't focus too much on making money, and it's gotten so hard to make money, runs through all these lectures. There's a weird kind of distinction that he tries to make where, you know, on the one hand, he's trying to sort of talk about, you know, believing in causes greater than yourself. And then he kind of seems to go on a tangent for at least 5 minutes about how to do a startup. And you think, well, if these people came here for the Antichrist, I'm not sure this is what they're really wanting to hear right now. Another thing is that his critiques of the university, which I, as a lifelong denizen of universities, obviously chafed at, was that he criticizes them for being too obsessed with pragmatism and what's fashionable and kind of technical fields. And then he criticizes them for not being technologically advanced enough. And in the next breath, he'll criticize them essentially for being too sort of callow and too timid in their thinking and too sort of narrow. The critiques seem like accumulated observations and often resentments of this man. They don't seem to have any kind of systematic heft.
This is the Religion and Ethics Report with Andrew West. We're speaking with Adrian Daub. He's a professor of German and comparative literature at Stanford University. But Adrian has a deep fascination in the thinking of the tech entrepreneur Peter Thiel. And Peter Thiel's been giving a series of lectures about the Antichrist. Adrian, some of Thiel's thinking, though, does appear to be pretty conventional. He has some reflections on World War One and World War Two. He says what a lot of World War One scholars now think, which was this a wasted war? He says World War Two was definitely a just war. How original is his thinking, though?
Not very. You could tell he's an autodidact to some extent. I am not a theologian, so I would not want to sound off on that with too much certainty. But I imagine if I were, I probably could pinpoint some of the texts that he's been reading and the people he's been running these ideas by. The lectures throughout feel like someone's attempt at kind of a syncretic boldness who doesn't have ultimately that much time to devote to this question, right? He's a busy man. He's a very wealthy man. There's a reason why people devote their lives to these questions. And he doesn't sound like someone who does that. He never impressed me with a kind of turn that I found unconventional or genuinely bold. He likes to think of himself as bold, and clearly the people around him tell him he's bold. Problem is, the people around him are largely paid to tell him he's bold.
A name that's come up a couple of times in our discussion so far, René Girard. Thiel cites Girard. You know a lot about René Girard. Just tell us who he is and why he's having this renaissance among some on the American right.
René Girard was a French philosopher and literary critic. He, in fact, taught in the same department that I teach in today for quite some time. He was born in the 1920s. I'm drawing a blank on the exact dates. And he died about 10 years ago, in 2015. His lectures greatly impressed Thiel during his undergraduate years and beyond in the 1980s. Girard was famous for this idea of the kind of sacrificial lamb. Why are people the way they are? And specifically, I think it was supposed to answer the question, why is there aggression? Why is human society so fallen and aggressive? And this is something that very much impressed Thiel. It's probably the philosopher he spent the most time with, and he's definitely spent more time with him than I have. But he does seem to have understood Girard as providing the code to kind of crack why the world is the way that it is. And he thinks that that knowledge provides a certain degree of power. I am not entirely sure that Girard thought that, right? Like, not every knowledge you can have about the world automatically confers control over other human beings. That is very much how Thiel read Girard. The reason why Girard is so popular in Silicon Valley is largely Peter Thiel, I think. He's been beating the drum about this guy for 30 years. There are other people in Silicon Valley who've been impressed with Girard over the years. Without Thiel, I don't think Girard would be where he is on the American right. I don't think you and I would be having this conversation about René Girard. We might be on the same radio program, but it wouldn't be about Peter Thiel. It'd be about this very interesting, but maybe recherché thinker of the 70s and 80s. Mm.
So, Adrian, if Peter Thiel thinks the Antichrist comes in the form of those who worry about climate change, about artificial intelligence, about the falling birth rate, what does he make of the Pope, who I should say has been an Antichrist figure for fundamentalist Protestants for many centuries? But what does Thiel make of the Pope?
He thinks he's definitely a candidate. He's particularly worried about the woke Pope making an alliance with left-wingers in the United States. I think he mentions Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's another person who sort of keeps showing up when he's entertaining candidates for anti-Christendom. He seems to think of anyone who commands hierarchies that he has no control or insight into as potential threats, right? It really feels like this is a guy very much at the height of his powers currently, with an immense influence, as you mentioned, on the vice president and likely the president of the United States and the ruling party. But at the same time, he seems in these lectures obsessed with alternate sources and alternate loci of power and how to basically combat those. Hmm.
Just finally, Adrian, as someone who's followed Thiel for a long time, how much of a wasted opportunity has it been for someone of Thiel's creativity and imagination? Because I was struck by a comment he made many years ago when he talked about the tech revolution, and he said, they promised us flying cars and we got 140 characters. And he was essentially saying the world had wasted the potential for true scientific advancement, frittering it away on silly things, on divisive things like social media. What could Thiel's imagination have wrought in a positive sense, in your view?
It's a good question. I mean, he's not wrong on that. At the same time, it again feels like a critique of his own milieu and his own sort of social set. Listening to his lectures, you get a sense of someone who has real trouble with the very, I take to be the central engine of scientific progress, of scholarly exchange, and of political progress, which is of listening to other people, taking on board what they say, paying attention to their motives, and not sort of demonizing any point of difference that emerges. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe on Earth 2, he would be a professor of theology or of philosophy. I have my doubts, precisely because of the kind of person that emerges in these lectures, simply because it seems that he is, in the end, a very narrow-minded person who he has the capital sufficient to make that narrowness everyone else's problem.
Adrian Daub, he's professor of German and comparative literature at Stanford University, but someone he studies almost as much as the classics is the tech billionaire Peter Thiel, and we've been discussing Peter Thiel's extraordinary series of lectures about the Antichrist. Adrian's also the host of a podcast, In Bed with the Right. Adrian Daub, thank you for joining us on the Religion and Ethics Report.
Thank you.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.